Hello there, and good day, everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, and this is the program, The Teacher. I'm your host, Masood.
Woke up with the light, a sky so blue upon my eyes, with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start.I feel so positive. Just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do.
Many things, yeah.
That can make me feel so close to you.
To you, to you, to you.
In history of science and knowledge and their development and expansion during, you know, time, we come across...many scholars and scientists in different ages. But one of the ages where we can find, of course, a long list and number of scholars together who had, you know, who were experts in many areas of science and knowledge is the golden age of Muslim scholars and scientists. By a simple look at history, we find their names, their expertise, and their achievements, and of course, the great impact and influence that they had on other scientists, you know,after that. One of the areas and fields of knowledge that Muslim scholars contributed to so significantly, of course, is philosophy. You know, Muslim philosophers, we should know that there were men of science who explored and set the very foundation of knowledge. There is no doubt about this. Everybody almost accepts this.They had great influence and importance, of course, in the history of fundamental ideas, and we should not forget that. So we all know that the medieval Western world, you know, when they just, you know, started to know and appreciate the basic Greek works, it was through the works of Muslim philosophers. And the translation of Arabic versions of the Aristotelian corpus, that is one great part ofthe contribution of Muslim scientists and scholars to area of philosophy, which is still alive. And everybody, you know, in the area of philosophy is using that, is taking advantage of that. That is the part of Muslims for their contribution to philosophy, besides all other sciences and natural sciences, for example, that they contributed to. One of the greatest scholars and individuals in history of Islam who had,you know, let's say, an unprecedented kind of impact on development of philosophy is Al-Ghazali. Let's know more about him. Brother Yasser Ibrahim talks about Al-Ghazali's work, The Incoherence of the Philosophers.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, you are listening to our program which we discuss the Islamic scholars of the past and their works which have made our lives today a little bit more easier. One of the works that we shall discuss today is by a scholar known as Al-Ghazali, who's a very famous scholar.Al-Ghazali's relationship with philosophy is subtle and complicated. The philosophy represented by Al-Farabi and Ibn Sina, or Avicenna, is, for Al-Ghazali, not simply an object of criticism, but was also an important component of his own learning. Al-Ghazali studied philosophy intensively while in Baghdad, composing the book The Intentions of the Philosophers. And then after a while, realizing that this was not for him, he wrote a second book, which he then called The Incoherence of the Philosophers. This book, which was written roughly in the 11th century, marks a major turn in Islamic epistemology, that is the knowledge of knowing, the knowledge of knowledge. His encounters with skepticism led Al-Ghazali to embrace a form of theological occasionalism, or the belief that all causal events and interactions are not the product of material conjunctions, but rather the immediate and present will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, that a causal relationship in the outside world does not really exist. Rather, whatever happens is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to happen directly, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed an order in place. The book, The Incoherence, also marked a turning point in Islamic philosophy in its vehement rejections of Aristotle and Plato. The book took aim at the philosophy, a loosely defined group of Islamic philosophers from the 8th through to the 11th centuries, most notably among them Avicenna and Al-Farabi, who drew intellectually upon the ancient Greeks. In the next century, that is the 12th century, Ibn Rushd, or otherwise known as Averroes, drafted a lengthy rebuttal of Al-Ghazali's incoherence, titled The Incoherence of the Incoherence. However, the epistemological course of Islamic thought had already been set. Al-Ghazali gave as an example of the illusion of independent laws, of course, the fact that cotton burns when coming into contact with fire. While it might seem as though a natural law was at work, it happened each and every time only because God willed it to happen. That is, that the event was a direct product of divine intervention, as any more attention-grabbing miracle. That is, everything that we see in this world today is a direct cause by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rushd and the philosophers have denied this, and by contrast insisted that while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this natural law, humans could more usefully say that the fire causes cotton to burn, because creation had a pattern that they could discern. That is, a human being is able to extract certain natural laws from the thing that he sees outside. This long-held argument has been disputed. Some argue that Al-Ghazali was the first intellectual to champion the separation between several disciplines formally classified under philosophy. Al-Ghazali argued that some fundamentalists who perceive philosophy to be incompatible with religion tend to categorically reject all views adopted by philosophers, including scientific facts like the lunar and solar eclipses. And when that person is later persuaded of a certain view, he tends to blindly accept all other views held by philosophers. Al-Ghazali thus claims that the philosopher's arguments cannot survive philosophical criticism, and Aristotelian logic served as a powerful weapon for this purpose. However, if the conclusions of philosophy cannot be proved by reason, it is not the same true of theological principles or the teachings of revelation. How then can the truth of the latter be demonstrated? Herein lies the force of Al-Ghazali's critique of reason. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, that is the second surah of the Holy Quran, in the 242nd verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تأقلون. Thus does Allah clarify His signs to you. That is, whatever is in the outside world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as a sign for me and you. But why has He done that? Allah also tells us, so that you may exercise your reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ability, this tool, for every single human being to use his reason, that without reason, first of all, you will not be able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Philosophy is not as Al-Ghazali would say, and he criticizes, but philosophy is that using one's reason to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and everything that exists is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the goal of philosophy, not anything else. Islamic philosophy, more specifically, not all philosophy. Al-Ghazali might have been criticizing the philosophers, but then going on a tangent and not understanding that Islamic philosophy merely tries to prove Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes, His existence, and that everything else in this world is attached to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, dear brothers and sisters, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Is only finite. The good and the bad times will be left behind as we make our way through this journey to the finest place for infinity. Lord, don't deny me your paradise. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. Oh God, please don't deprive me a blissful life eternally.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is the program The Teacher, talking about Al-Ghazali and his great contribution to the field of philosophy. We also talked about the great contribution of Muslim scholars to philosophy in history. So that is what they did and their great impact and influence on the later achievements and expansion of this area of knowledge is, of course, incredible. But talking about philosophy and studying that and reading about that and all the great things and benefits that it can give to us, there is one point that we cannot forget about. And that is that besides all these things and all the knowledge that we have, how much the will of Allah, the Almighty, is influential in our affairs. We talk about the influence of, you know, different phenomena in this world on each other, the effects, the actions and reactions. But how much we care about the will of God, Allah the Almighty, and its influence on our affairs in this life. That is one of the basic teachings of Islam. That is one of the points that we cannot simply forget about. That is one of the things that if we have it in our mind, if we bury it in our mind, if we try to remember that, you know, we are not going to forget many things or deviate from the right path. Philosophy, other areas of science and knowledge, they can all help us to stay in the path towards salvation. That is right. However, one more point which cannot be, you know, simply forgotten or ignored, that is the will of Allah the Almighty on all our affairs and our daily life and from the beginning to its end. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with the program The Teacher once again. And you are listening to IRIB English Radio. Hopefully we'll have you again in the next episode of this program. Just don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Till next session, God bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
And you show that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me. Except Al-Habib, Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقول.
شفعة أنا لها